check out the Full Press Hockey Podcast with Jim Berenger, the best in the business. It's going to be great.
Welcome to the Full Press NHL Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Berenger, the voice of Full Press Hockey. I'm joined by Mike Morial of NHL.com. He covers the New Jersey Devils along with, he is the senior draft guy over there as well. Mike, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, James. It's great to talk to you. I know we're usually around the rink or around MetLife, which was real exciting for the weeks leading up to the actual event. It was good touching base with you there, talking to all the stars for the Devils when they came by, and some of the dignitaries there to get the MetLife game going, which was fantastic. But I'm glad to be on your show.
Yeah, I appreciate taking the time. I know you're a busy guy. And yeah, like you said, just interacting in the weeks and the days leading up to the game and then the game itself. And I think that's a good spot to start the stadium series. You know, it was such a great weekend, and the Devils, you know, they came out and they were on a mission to win that game, and it was an important game for them. Every game's important for them right now, but you and I were there when Nico, he shared, Jesper Bratt and Timo Meier talked about the importance of that game, and, you know, just your thoughts on the stadium series, but how that team followed the lead of their captain.
Yeah, indeed. You know, first and foremost, the lead up to the event, I thought was fantastic, James. I had a good time. I know we were there, I think maybe three or four times in the lead up, including the, you know, when the refrigeration truck came in the Monday prior. You know, we spoke to Nico Hischier, Timo Meier, Jesper Bratt came by a couple days later. Steve Mayer, the chief content officer for the National Hockey League, who works on all the content and got everything squared away with how the field was going to look, the sight lines. I know that was a big question you were asking, how the fans are gonna see with the stadium. And to be honest with you, you know, I kind of walked around the stadium night of and day of, and it was fantastic. All the sight lines. I mean, if you can bear the cold, you had a good seat in the house at MetLife. So overall, I thought the event was fantastic. It was a great event for the National Hockey League and New Jersey in general, knowing that, you know, a stone's throw away was the actual arena, whether it was Brendan Byrne or Continental, that the Devils won their three Stanley Cups. So that was great. And Marty Brodeur actually talked about that when he joined us that Friday in the lead up to the event. But the game in general, you know, it started out just the way the Devils, I mean, if you were to script it, that's the way you would want it to go. To have your captain score less than a minute into the game, the second fastest opening period goal in outdoor history. So Nico scores. He scored two in that game. I thought defensively they were good, a little shaky in some areas. The Flyers tried to crawl back in certain times. I thought they were sound in basically all phases of the rink. I don't know if you agree with that, but I thought Dawes was fantastic, right, James? I mean, Dawes just when the Flyers wanted to try to crawl back and you saw the momentum start to shift a little bit, I thought Dawes was really good in helping the Devils sustain whatever momentum they had previously. He would make a big save, and then it would jumpstart the bench again, and the Devils would get going again. So overall, good game for the Devils. Nate Bastian, you know, it's nice to see those guys that maybe don't get the credit during the course of an 82-game season really stand out, show up, and do something special. And in that game, Nate Bastian, with the hand gestures and just a free spirit, right? A free-spirited guy. He loves to talk. He's always a great quote in the locker room. So it was nice to see Nate Bastian, you know, come up big in that game as well.
Yeah, I agree with you on all counts. I thought Nico Dawes played a heck of a game. I thought defensively they were really sound. I thought, you know, all phases of the game they played really well. I mean, Dawes made a couple of big saves in the second period. I think he robbed Konechny right in front with the glove. I think he did it twice. I know Tippett got a couple of goals, but I know the Devils' power play, again, is just not the same without Dougie Hamilton. But I thought Nico Hischier set the tone in the lead-up to this. The players talked about it. You know, it's just a hockey game when the puck drops, but it's not because of the spectacle. And being back in the Meadowlands, I was joking with somebody that night. I said, somebody's asking me, what got into the Devils? They said, well, they're back home. They're back in the Meadowlands, and that's where they play well. But they played a great game, and you could see it. Even Brendan Smith got in on the action, scored right. A goal. I mean, good for him. I mean, he's taken a lot of criticism this year from the fan base. But I thought the Devils played a really good game and a really important game because now, yeah, you get the win over the Flyers. You move closer. You thought maybe that would kickstart them a little bit, but it seems to be like one step forward, two steps back with this team.
Yeah, and obviously you're referring to what we saw last night in our nation's capital. And it was a little bit disheartening, particularly since, you know, you have Siegs coming back, Jonas Siegenthaler back on defense. Obviously, John Marino was ill, could not play in the game. So that was a bit of a, a loss there on the back end for Coach Lindy Ruff. But, you know, to have Siegenthaler come back first game in 17 games, you thought it would kind of jumpstart the team again. Obviously, Nico Dawes taking the net again. But the Devils were just too loose, too leaky in their own end, James. And Washington just made them pay. Because look, the Devils had their opportunities. They outshot the Caps last night. They were beating them in the faceoff circle. I mean, they dominated. I think they almost doubled them in faceoffs. Everything else was kind of even except on the scoreboard. I thought Charlie Lindgren, the goalie for the Caps, played really well. When they needed some big saves, he made some crucial saves for them. And obviously with the way the defense couldn't really come around, and was allowing the Caps, you know, space and time in their own end. When they did get chances, there were guys in front of the net, you know, alone in front of the net that weren't covered, back of the net coverage. It just wasn't there. Forwards weren't getting back hard enough to create, some help there for the defenders. So, that happens, right? These games happen. But it's like you said, this season in particular, with all the injuries that this team has had, and that's been an issue because a lot of the injuries have come to those star players on the roster. But, you know, Lindy Ruff and the coaching staff has implemented a system here to help them win despite those losses. And we talked about this, James. It's like, it's kind of amazing that the Devils are where they are despite all those losses they had. Because right now, with the way the Metropolitan Division is shaping up, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes are on a roll. The Rangers are on a roll. The Flyers seem to be, you know, they obviously the Devils beat them, but the Flyers are a team that the Devils are going to have to catch right now. So there was games in hand. That was one last night. They lost it. So, you know, we'll see what happens now. Maybe Marino comes back, for the big game against the Rangers on Thursday night, and they have a big weekend slate, the Devils do, two matinees on Saturday and Sunday. So we'll see if the Devils can get that rolling again. They get the goaltending and that defensive coverage that was doing so well and helping them win some games prior to that Washington game last night. Maybe they can get that back into swing and help out their goaltenders.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that because as Jack said that one night, he said, yeah, when we get a save, you know, it's easy to win games. But Nico Dawes did everything in his power in that Washington game to keep it. It could have been 10-2. It could have been 10-2.
Yeah.
Like the Devils defensively just didn't play great. And it's a classic letdown game. It's a classic trap game. You knew you had the Rangers on Thursday. You had a big opponent and the Flyers on Saturday, the big spectacle. You had a couple of days off to get ready. But they just came out flat. I mean, they did tie the game going into the into the first period intermission. I mean, Holtz gets a goal, gets rewarded for his play. Nemich looks really good, but it's just the same breakdowns over and over again all year. And you saw that in the losses since the All-Star break against the Kings, against the Flames. Like, those little breakdowns in your own zone continue to hurt the Devils. And, you know, you and I were both there opening night. It goes back to what Lindy Ruff said, and I believe you're the one that asked the question. What's wrong with defensively? He even answered. It's just like, if we're going to play defense like this all year, we're going to make it hard on ourselves. And he's right.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the Devils have, and you mentioned earlier, you know, the loss of Dougie Hamilton looks like he's done for the season. Not sure if there's a chance come playoff time. I don't know. That's even if they make the playoffs. But defensively, they've got to all buy into this system. It has to be a five-man unit around the puck playing it. And look, this is a team that likes to sweep, that likes to, you know, really run with the puck, get into the offensive zone. That's their MO. That's how they played defense last year when they would perform so well and set a franchise record for wins in a season and beat the Rangers in the first round. They were a run-and-gun team. That's how they keep the puck away from the opposing team, was just keep it in the opposing zone. But with the injuries they've had now, you know, with Hamilton out, you know, obviously Vitek Vanacek, we don't know what the situation is there with him. Nico Dawes looks to be the starter. They sent Akira Schmid back down, you know, to Utica this morning. And Isaac Poulter is now, looks like he'll be the backup for now. But look, defensively, they got to buy in, just as they did prior to the Washington game. It has to be a five-man crew helping out the defenders when they need be. Because, look, we have two rookies back there, and despite the fact they've been playing well, getting a lot of minutes, earning those minutes because of how well they've played, there will be some breakdowns, whether it's the rookies, whether it's some of the veterans, whether it's a bad pass in the middle of the ice, which we've seen quite often. You know, that's gonna come back to haunt you. It did last night against the Caps, and I'm telling you right now, and I don't think it's nothing that's new to you, James, that it's gonna come back to haunt them against the Rangers if they do that Thursday night at Prudential Center.
Oh, 100%. I think so. The way the Rangers have been playing, and it looks like Igor Shesterkin's back to his old self. Yeah. I know he struggled against the Islanders in that outdoor game Sunday, but he came up large and he came up with the saves that team needed when Dallas was pressuring. And that's the one thing you and I talked about, like, prior to Stadium Series when we ran into each other, is that goaltending, getting that key save, like the one game Vanacek played great against Colorado, he came up with those saves that, okay, it's those are great, but then he lets in soft goals. But then he comes up with a big save. Like, you consistently lead that one, two saves, that's fine. But now you've been asking your goaltender to do more because of the way the Devils have been playing defense in their own zone. And as much as a Jacob Markstrom, a UC Saros, Elvis Merzlikins, a John Gibson, that's all well and good, that can help you get that save. Defensively, you still need to play better in front of them.
Yeah, you do. And you mentioned Markstrom there, and Markstrom stands out to me. You know, I've been listening to a lot of pundits, a lot of experts, former goaltenders, and a lot of them have said to me, James, that, you know, if the Devils do need to make some type of move in goal. And Markstrom just stands out as a fit for me for multiple reasons. Most important is that, to me, in my opinion, he's rock solid. He's putting together another strong season in Calgary. He's a goalie who's shown he can thrive on a team that likes to trade chances. And obviously, New Jersey's associate coach, Travis Green, can attest to that. You know, Markstrom had two top 10 Vezina finishes playing for Green in Vancouver. I believe it was 2019 and 2020. He played for him at the AHL level in Utica as well. Look, Markstrom is signed for two more years beyond this season. The idea would be, of course, that Markstrom pays immediate dividends for the Devils, but New Jersey wouldn't be putting all their chips on just 2024. Those extra 2 years are especially important considering Nico Hischier's contract carries that bargain of 7.25, that cap hit runs through 2027. And having Markstrom through 2026 helps to solidify the crease during that window in which, the Devils have both their star number one picks in Hischier and Jack Hughes locked up. I believe it's a combined, I think it's $15.25 million. So to me, James, and I mean, people are going to be talking about this. What's the asking price? For me, it looks like from what people have been saying, look, I'm not the biggest insider. I read a lot and see what some of these experts are saying, and including former NHL players. But it looks like Markstrom, if he were to come over to the Devils, might cost him an Alexander Holtz, maybe a 2025 second round, first round pick. And maybe if Calgary were to retain maybe 20 to 25% of the salary, maybe that's something that, Tom Fitzgerald will look at as maybe we do this now. Look, the Devils are coming off a fabulous season. You would hate to see it end with another non-playoff year, particularly as I pointed out with, Hischier and Jack Hughes and a lot of these players really gunning and pushing ahead. You want to see this momentum keep going. Would they win a first round series? Yeah, maybe with those two forwards and an elite goaltender. I think there's always a possibility that'll happen, but I think it really is interesting, and it's a good talking point with all this regarding if the Devils need a goaltender. Because James, I think you've heard it too. It's like, do they get a goaltender? Do they get a high end defenseman instead? To me, and to make this quite just very simple, you go with the goaltender, because the goaltender to me is the player that's always on is kind of his own island, right? The goaltender is the one that doesn't even need to practice. You just throw him out there, and he knows he needs to stop the puck. That is it. Defenseman comes, a new defenseman, you got to kind of worry about chemistry. You got to kind of worry about the locker room feel, what's going on here, there. The goaltenders are away from everybody. Defenseman has to, gain the trust of other players. And not that the goalie doesn't, but again, the goaltender is there to make saves. If he makes the saves, that gives the team confidence, and then they can push forward.
I agree with you. I think Markstrom's the answer. I think he's the perfect fit for this team. Just his display alone in that Calgary game against New Jersey just solidified my belief that this was the guy that the Devils need. He is the difference maker. Yeah, Noah Hanifin's great, but you have those players already. In Luke Hughes, you have that in Simone Nemec. Both guys have taken steps forward, and I agree. It would be a shame that if the Devils were to make that trade, but again, you have to give up something to get something, as we've seen in the past with the Devils and other teams around the league. Yeah, would it be a shame a guy like Alexander Holtz, would you draft at 7th overall, you have to give up to Calgary? Yeah, it would, because let's be honest, maybe he does need a change of scenery. Look, he's had ups and downs this year. And look, everybody wants to point to, Lindy Ruff doesn't like the guy or this and that. Maybe he just doesn't fit the system. Look, he is a goal scorer. You signed him to score goals, and I understand the Devils need him to play defense, but his potential is not being fulfilled if he's going to be on a fourth line all the time. Like, if the Devils need to score goals, he needs to be in a top six. He needs to be on a power play. And if he's not going to get that in New Jersey, then maybe a place like Calgary where they're trying to retool on the fly, rejoin Sharon, he's going to get the minutes there. That might have to be an option.
Yeah. Look, if I'm Tom Fitzgerald, I get it. It's complicated. No movement clause for Markstrom. The money with the cap. Everything's tight. It's going to be tough. But the Devils have to make a move in net to me. They probably should have done it weeks ago, to be honest with you. But I understand that it's not easy to do. These aren't easy trades. You don't just take players and trade them away. It's complicated with everything I just mentioned, particularly when a top 10 drafted prospect and a high draft pick might be the compensation. And I think this all boils down to, James, is, would Calgary be willing to retain some of the salary? I think that's the big issue at this point. I still think both sides are discussing this. They're talking about it. I know the Devils are interested in Markstrom. I know they've, you know, according to reports, they've also reached out for you know, the asking price for some of these other goalies. And I know usually at the trade deadline that when you look at the history of goalies being dealt at the deadline, it doesn't always work out or pan out the way you anticipate it. But I just think with Markstrom, it's a different type of player here. And the reason I say that is because I know what this player can do in net, and he's a good locker room presence too. I've dealt with Markstrom before when he was with Vancouver and now in Calgary. And he just seems like a good fit. He's a fun guy, but he's a solid goaltender. And look, Nico Dors has played well. We talked about this. You know, is he a player that maybe the Devils will keep on the roster even when VTech comes up? Maybe. We'll see, because he's been playing exceptionally well. He's a big-size goalie in net. He has gotten the job done in VTech's absence right now. And the fans like what they see in Nico Dors, and I think management likes what they see in him as well. He's a pending restricted free agent at the end of this season. So he's out to prove something. And I think the Devils want to see what he can prove. So maybe if you have a Markstrom and a Nico Dors and a VTech to battle it out to see who would, you know, be your goaltender down the stretch, I think that's what you want to see. You want to see some competition in that area as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the big thing is for me, I was thinking about this, is if you do get Markstrom, and you have Vanacek at $3.4 million, do you try to move him in the summer? Or as Tom Fitzgerald said at the beginning of the year, he wants these young guys to develop. Maybe you send Nico Dors back down to the AHL and you rotate with Schmidt and Dors, and those guys will be ready in case there's an injury. Because I think having either two veterans or a veteran with a rookie is really good. And to have those guys playing, I think VTech does stay around. But then again, you never know. Maybe they buy him out. Maybe they try to move that money off the cap. And maybe, you know, not to say that I've read anything about this or talked to anybody about this or just come up that, you know, maybe he's a candidate for the Lou Lamoriello Robita Island at this point with the injury. In case, that's all depends, is if they get a goaltender. That all depends if they get Markstrom. But New Jersey, I agree. They need that goaltender, and they definitely need, after that, a defenseman. As much as everybody wants to talk about down the middle is covered. They have down the middle. It's the defense and the goaltending that's really the needs for this team.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, defensively, we'll see what they can come up with. Obviously, if you get a player, you know, the caliber of a Markstrom, if he's your top priority, then you probably won't get a high end defenseman. You'd probably be looking at something maybe a number, you know, 5-6. 3-4-5 or something along those lines as far as a defenseman goes. But you need that depth. And for me, when you look at the teams in the East right now, James, like the Florida Panthers, like the Carolina Hurricanes, the Rangers, even the Capitals last night, didn't you see, like, when you watch those clubs, they're so strong on the puck. They're physical. They play a physical game. Heck, you know, I remember reading a quote last week after Florida had won a game. Matthew Tkachuk, you know, had a great game. And afterwards, I remember hearing Matthew saying, you know, he was asked, you know, you guys start the game, you know, what's the mindset when you start a game? And he says, we just want to hit teams through the boards. We don't care where the puck is. We're looking for bodies. We're looking to hit them. We're looking to intimidate them. So, yeah. And Florida can do that because they have the size. They have the size of the player to do something like that. The Devils, while there are some, you know, they got some big, strong players on the roster, but that's how they lost to the Hurricanes last year. You watched the way the Hurricanes handled the Devils. It was along the boards. They, you know, they really put the punch, you know, literally speaking, to them along the boards and in front of the net. And the Devils weren't really able to get to their game, which was that speed game. Because when you have a physical team that's really strong defensively with a capable goaltender back there, it's going to be tough. So I agree with you. Goaltending probably one, and maybe look for that defenseman, that big, strong, physical, defensive defenseman on the back end to help complement what they have right now.
Could you see a player like, I know we've talked about Holtz, but could you see a player like Mercer going a deal even though they want to re-sign him?
Yeah, Mercer's a tough one for me because it's very rare. And, you know, I'm trying to, as I'm talking, I'm thinking in my mind, it's very rare to get a player in the draft that's just so versatile as a Dawson Mercer. And when I say versatile, I mean a guy that you can throw in there last minute of the game, tie game to take a face off. A guy that you can throw on wing. A guy that can play third line as well as top line minutes for you. Those are rare players because they'll do whatever it takes to win. It's almost, James, like, you know, we love Curtis Lazar, right? Because Curtis Lazar goes out there and does everything. He's a utility player. In fantasy hockey, we love those players because they're five tools. They give us, you know, points in every category. Dawson Mercer is that type of player. Now, is Mercer struggling a little bit offensively this year? Yes, he is. But when a player struggles, you want to see other areas where he can maybe add to the team and still be beneficial when he plays the game. And to me, Mercer is able to do that because Ruff can throw him out there for faceoffs. Can throw him out there on the PK. He does a great job on the penalty kill for the Devils, which has really been great. The PK has been great of late for the Devils. So quality player there. If you're going to trade a Mercer, you need to get someone back that's going to be, at least those top three lines that's going to play a pivotal role in there, a major checking role, or someone that could take faceoffs and maybe give you some depth scoring as well. Right now, I don't know if you know, because I know players in the locker room like Mercer, what he brings to the table. He's a good teammate. And as I said, the coaching staff loves him. He's a sponge out there, takes everything in. To me, it would be difficult to trade a player like a Mercer. Now, we don't know. Like, maybe Calgary is asking for Mercer. Maybe it's not Holtz. Maybe this is just a smokescreen that we've been reading about. But could be Mercer. So maybe that's the reason why this deal hasn't gone through. Who knows? But to me, Mercer is that utility dynamic player that if I'm trading away a player of that caliber who we got in the first round, I'm looking to get something back in significance there.
I agree with that. And, you know, we've talked about the goaltending, the defense, everything like that. You know, we saw Edmonton go on this 16-game winning streak. We saw the Devils do it last year. They went on that 13-game winning streak. They tie a franchise record. Do you – and we've talked – and I've talked about this with several people. I want to get your thoughts on this. New Jersey – and I've read this too. New Jersey has the potential to do that if they can get everything to click. Would you agree with that?
I do. I absolutely do. I also think – and we go back to the goalie. I also think if they're able to get – a goaltender that's there that they can trust, that they know is going to make those key saves and key moments, that's going to be a big plus. Because every so often, we're going to see defensive breakdowns. It's going to happen. You cannot be perfect. You cannot have an A-plus game every game. There's going to be breakdowns. So you need the saves at a time when maybe you shouldn't be making a save. And we've spoken about this. But if they're able to – and that's a big but, right? It's huge to get something like that. But if they're able to find that keeper, and who knows, maybe it's on the team already. Maybe Vitek comes back and stars and leads the team. Dawes can find that mojo that he had prior to the Washington game. Or maybe they get a Markstrom. So either way, if they're able to get that goaltending, I do believe this is a team that can make a strong run in the playoffs just because offensively they're very tough to contain. They're tough to keep at bay. You know, the Devils just go, go, go. When they're on the power play, it's scary for opposing teams. You always hear about opposing coaches talk about Jack Hughes and Nico and Jesper Bratt, how Jesper has come on the past two seasons for this club. So I do believe they can make a run, James, but there just needs to be some consistency. And we go back to what we've talked about in goal, right, man? There just needs to be that consistency in goal for this team to take it to the next level.
Yeah, a couple more things before I let you go and let you get back to work today. One, Tyler Toffoli, you know, he's been playing great in the acquisition. I think that was a great hockey trade by both teams. Is that a player that the Devils potentially could re-sign moving forward in this offseason?
I do think he's a player that they could re-sign. I mean, obviously, you have to look at the contracts for some of these young players that they have on the roster to see where they will fit in the next 2, 3, 4 years. But Toffoli's a player still, you know, he's still a young player in his prime, making a tremendous impact with the Devils, leading the team in goals scored this year. And he's one of those players that we talked about earlier, James, that he's a big-bodied player, plays a strong game, likes to get to the middle of the ice, scores a majority of his goals from the high slot area, can sometimes snipe it coming down wing. But for the most part, Toffoli is one of those players that can play a, you know, top line, second line role and do a good job with that. He's also a big player on the power play for the Devils this year. Has played a huge role in that regard. So to me, yeah, I think Toffoli is a player that you look to re-sign because, you know, he's that – and he seems to have fit right in with this team too. Mm-hmm. I know he's, you know, he's kind of – you can almost look at Toffoli as a journeyman after – you know, coming into the league and you know, playing the way he did for Vegas and what he was able to do. But now he seems to kind of has fit into a role in New Jersey that seems to have suited him well in goals, in the line mates that play around him. It just seems to be a good fit for him. So I think, as was the case with Timo Meier, when Meier thought it was a good fit for him with the players around him, you know, and everything else going on, I think Toffoli is a player that the Devils should definitely consider re-signing. But again, it all depends on where these prospects are, and the Devils have plenty of them, where these prospects are in the system, where these young players are on the roster already, where this money kind of leads us to in maybe 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you talk about fits and chemistry, and we go back, I know, and consistency, and look, preseason is preseason, and they went undefeated, big deal. But chemistry to me as a player, and you watch it, and you see, okay, the lines were rolling, everybody was rolling, you know, Meier, whole T-shirt. I think to me that, and I want to get your thoughts on this and your opinion on this one. To me, I think the adjustment going into the regular season is thrown off, not just the team, but certain players because of the chemistry that they were building in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, preseason. Yeah, I mean, preseason is preseason. It's a lot of times you're looking to see who's going to fit in that, you know, 3-4 defenseman, or you know, the 5-6 role, or who's going to be, you know, your wing on the third or fourth line. You're looking for those kind of players so they get a majority of the ice time. But yeah, I mean, the consistency you saw from the Devils coming out of the gate when they were healthy was pretty good, because let's face it, and I remember the early stages of the season, they weren't playing particularly well, and they were still winning games. That was a good sign. But then when the injuries started to creep in here, that's when you saw the team start to falter, you know, kind of break away from a system that would have helped them win games, which was what Ruck was trying to instill in these players. So with Toffoli, with Meier, you know, and in Meier's case, we're seeing a little bit of a struggle to regain the form he once had with the San Jose Sharks. But it's a different system, right? It's different systems. He has to play a different type of role.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you know, fans complain about it and say, oh, you know, he needs to let them play. Well, Ruff, when this team is healthy, Ruff allows them to play. They're given the green light to go, because that's, again, and I said this earlier, that's how they play defense. Best defense is just pushing the pace offensively and play keep away. And that's what the Devils were able to do so well. So, again, and it probably goes back to your question, can this team compete when healthy, when they have the full roster? Are they a playoff caliber team? And I think yes. And I think right now the Devils, we're seeing this fluctuation of, you know, win one, lose two, win three, lose one, because there's a little bit inconsistencies within the roster, the players that are there. Obviously, seeing Thorough coming back, it kind of helps. He needs to get back into the swing of things, get the rust out a little bit. Marino comes back. Slowly but surely, it's going to come together. But the only thing about that, James, is the fact that, what do we only have 27, 28 more games in the regular season? So this is moving along fast. So the Devils have to recoup, and they have to understand, play back, play defense, think defense first before you think offense, and maybe things will, you know, they'll be able to right the ship.
Keep things simple, as the Edmonton Oilers said when they came into town. Be patient, play patient hockey. One more before I let you go. Your thoughts about the Eastern Conference this year, any standouts, and what are you looking at moving forward as we approach March 8th and then the end of the regular season?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Florida Panthers, to me, dynamite team, James. You know, they've won six straight right now. We usually, you know, NHL.com comes out with their Super 16. Dan Rosen asks all the writers for their suggestions on their top 16 teams. And this week, I actually have Florida as number one in my power rankings. Just, I mean, a plus 51 goal differential. Are you kidding me? Six straight wins. They're 9-1 in their last 10. Just dominant. Just done. Paul Maurice has that team going, working on all cylinders. The Boston Bruins, obviously, big win yesterday. You know, McAvoy is huge on the back end. Jeremy Swayman, right, James? Getting the job done, you know, for the Bruins this year in goal. So defensively, I think they're real strong. And the Bruins, a plus 39 goal differential. The Maple Leafs are a team that we always have to watch, but they seem to falter come playoff time. Right now, they're third in the Atlantic. So we'll see where they finish. Auston Matthews having a fantastic season. We talked a little bit about the Rangers, first in the Metropolitan Division. You mentioned Shesterkin really coming along now. Jonathan Quick, they have a sensational backup there to go with Shesterkin. So if he falters a little bit, Quick comes in, Shesterkin gets mad. He wants to get, you know, he wants to show that he can be the man. So you have a real competitive balance right there between two competitive goalies with the Rangers. So that's good as well. And the Rangers have won eight straight. So they're rolling along. Carolina, as I said, big, strong, probably one of the best defensive units. They're coached by one of the best, and Rod Brind'Amour. I like what Carolina has to offer. And Torts, I know they lost to the Devils in the Stadium Series game, but what a job Torts has done in Philadelphia this year with a relatively young team, losing a major goalie in Carter Hart, working with a rookie in Samuel Erickson, who has gotten the job done. So good on Torts. And, you know, they're at 65 points right now, third in the Metro. The Tampa Bay Lightning, the Detroit Red Wings have had great seasons as well. So the Islanders are right on the Devils' tails as far as playoffs. They each have 60 points right now. The Caps with that win over the Devils last night, they're 2 points behind the Devils. It's going to be a race, James, towards the finish here. The Red Wings have that second wild card in the East, and they're 4 points ahead of the Devils right now. So it's anyone's ball game come those wild cards, but the Devils still have a shot at third place. That's what they got to be looking at. You know, third place in the Metro right now is a, you know, is a real, real possibility. So they just have to put the pedal to the metal and start getting the points and some victories here down the stretch.
Mike, I totally agree with everything you just said on that. And the season's been incredible. Things so close, because normally we know, you know, who the sellers are, who really the buyers are at this point. We really don't know because of how the standings are. And right. I agree, Florida's the best team right now in the Eastern Conference. And I don't know if anybody's stopping. I know the Rangers have won eight straight, but I think the Florida Panthers are the better team right now. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens down the stretch.
Absolutely. I mean, I love watching Florida play. Every night it feels like their forecheck wants to, you know, debilitate the other team's blue line. And their push to the net is relentless. You know, winners of nine of the last 10. They're led, as I mentioned earlier, by, you know, Matthew Tkachuk, who after a slowish start has been on fire, scoring eight goals, 13 assists, 21 points during a 10-game stretch in there. And right now, James, they're playing late June style of hockey in mid-February. So when you have a team playing that way, that's a treat to watch, no doubt.
It is. Mike Morial, NHL.com, covers the Devils, covers the NHL draft. Thank you for coming on the Full Press NHL podcast today.
Thanks a lot, James. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure, guys. Get it. Full Press NHL podcast, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Take care and enjoy the week. We made a promise. We swore we'd always remember. No retreat, baby. Surrender. Blood runs in the storm.
Barry Trotz, Nashville Predators, making sure you're listening to Full Press Hockey Podcast.